Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Hey, once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the Old King James Version of the Bible. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am still excited and energetic about the study. We are in the book of Isaiah still, and we know that this study exposes all the prophecies of Isaiah the prophet about the Messiah of Israel, which points directly to Jesus Christ. In fact, one of the prophecies actually gives a vivid description of the Savior to be. Many theologians today constantly use verses from the manuscripts of Isaiah, and the Jews consider Isaiah a major prophet, and his writings are revered by both Jews and Christians alike. Now, I highly suggest, as I always do, that you have your Bible sources open, laptops, Bible apps, tablets, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, every 10 minutes or so, we will have what I like to consider a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. Now, before we get started, I want to personally take this time to thank those of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you are giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. Thank you so very much. Now, as the theme song for the show suggests, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Now, the promise is that you will be filled with righteousness if you do hunger and thirst for it. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. That's taken from Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. The promise is that you will obtain mercy if you are merciful. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. The promise is that you will see God if your heart is pure. Now, the question is, again, are you standing on God's promises? Now, before we get started, I want you to know that the Bible is written in code, meaning written in mysteries, secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, in riddles, and in symbols. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now let's go to the study. We are going to the book of Isaiah. Now there are 66 books in Isaiah, and we are on book 47. And we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1 through 6. And we're going to go to instruction number 65. I have written 101 instructions for the entire book, and we're on 65. And as we read chapter 47, verse 1 through 6, what I want you to do is pay attention to this instruction. The instruction is the judgment of the lost. My brothers and sisters, as I read the text, keep in mind the instruction, the judgment of the lost. Now, here is what Isaiah chapter 47, verse 1 through 6 says. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Now, we know that Babylon had Israel or Judah in captivity for over 70 years, and God is punishing Babylon because of that. Verse 2 says, take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. God is going to punish Babylon and is telling Israel that through the prophecy of Isaiah. Verse 4 says, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Sit thou silent and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the lady of the kingdom. I was wroth with my people. I have polluted my inheritance and given them into thy hand. Thou didst show them no mercy. Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And so in this verse, Isaiah is telling Israel that they're going to be punished for their disobedience, and the punishment is they're going to be in captivity in Babylon. Now, verse 10 continues the thought by saying, for thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it hath perverted me. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am and none else beside me. That is the judgment that God is going to put on Babylon because of what they did to Israel. And verse 13 concludes the thought by saying, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counselors. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. And what God is, again, the prophecy is saying through Isaiah is that regardless of what the people say in Babylon, the folks that are in authority, they are still going to be punished by God for, or judged by God for their doings against Israel. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement, and we're going to go to Revelations chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 5, Revelations chapter 18, verse 1 through 5, and this is going to connect the dot, and this is going to be identifying, comparing and agreeing what we just read, the judgment of the lost. This is what verse 1 through 5 says, and after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon, the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And after the break, we will continue with the instruction. The break did not come into play, so I will continue the reading until the break comes in. We're on verse 3 in chapter 18. Now the break.
There is a constant battle for your soul going on all the time. You see, your soul is important to the devil. He wants your soul. He'll pay any price. And some of you are selling your soul so cheaply. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The devil will give you the whole world if you'll follow him. But some of you will follow him and he won't give you anything. You're just following him because you're like the pig that's following the man that's dropping the beans, going to the slaughter pen. Every little bit he drops a bean and the pig goes following right along. And you don't even think that you're following the devil in the wrong direction. Yes, Jesus Christ is the highway to heaven. But be aware, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he said.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with this instruction, the judgment of the lost. Now we already read what happened to Babylon in the physical sense in the Old Testament, and we know today Iraq is where Babylon was in those days. Now we're reading about Babylon as a symbol in the book of Revelations, and that the symbol is Babylon being the world, and this is what Revelations chapter 18, verse 1 through 5 says about it, and we're on verse 3. It says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive none of her plagues." That is telling us, my brothers and sisters, the Christians that are in the world but not a part of the world, we must be careful about what we do in the world, because the plagues and the sins of the world are going to create the plagues that will hurt because of the sins. Verse 5 says, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity." Now, to continue with the thought, we're going to go to verse 21, and 21 of 18 says, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more." Remember now, Babylon in this instance is identifying the world. And this is what it's saying about it. And to complete the thought, verse 24 says, "And in her was found the blood of prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth." So that tells us that there are a lot of good people that are going to be hurt because of what is happening in the world today. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that being repentive and faithful is the key to not being lost at the judgment. Now, we're looking at the instruction. Because of the death on his cross. Now, that's what I want you to understand through this instruction, that the judgment, those who are not repentive and faithful will receive damnation. Now, let's go to the next instruction, instruction number 66. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 48, and we're going to be looking at verse 3 through 5, Isaiah 48, verse 3 through 5. And this is the instruction I want you to pay attention to as I read the text, the intent of prophecy. This is what Isaiah, or the instruction, is identifying in this instruction. The intent of prophecy. And this is what Isaiah chapter 48, verse 3 through 5 says. "I have declared the former things from the beginning, and they went forth out of my mouth. and I showed them. I did them suddenly, and they came to pass. Because I knew that thou art obstinate, and thy neck is an iron sinew, and thy brow brass, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I showed it to thee, at least thou shouldest say, my idol has done this, and my graven image and my molten image had commanded it. Now, the intent of the prophecy, the reason that we're given information about things that are to come is for our benefit. And this is what Isaiah is telling Israel, that because they are stiff-necked and hard-hearted, that even with the prophecy being told, they're still going to not respond to it. Now, verse 9 gives us more of an understanding, and this is what verse 9 says. It says, for my name's sake will I defer my anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. So this is what the prophecy is telling us, that even though we're suffering, God is still going to have a remnant for Israel. And, of course, we will be included in that. Now what we're going to do is go to our New Testament complement. We're going to go to John chapter 16, verse 33. And this is the prophecy that Jesus tells us today about our actions and what we should respond to them, his words, concerning our actions. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. This is the prophecy. You are to obey Jesus' words, and you will have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that is the intent of the prophecy, to tell us, to forewarn us, that if we listen to what Jesus says, then we shall be okay. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is our permanent source of prophecy to get us safely through this experience, this side of eternity. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? That basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is our permanent source of prophecy to get us safely through this experience, this side of eternity. That's what I want you to understand in what we just looked at. Now we're going to go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 48 again, and we're going to be reading verse 22. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22. And this is the instruction, and I want you to pay attention to this because this is critical. There is no peace for the wicked. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? There is no peace for the wicked. And this is what Isaiah told Israel in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Now, that is critical in our lives, because the peace that he's talking about, more especially, is the reconciliation back to God the Father. Because of the sin of inheritance from Adam and Eve, the reconciliation back to God the Father is the peace that this is identifying. And of course, the examples are that which comes with the peace. The attributes is tranquility and serenity and solace and quietness and calmness and rest. All of those attributes come along with this reconciliation back to God the Father. Now, this is what the New Testament complement says about that. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. And this is what the New Testament says concerning no peace for the wicked. This is what Jesus said. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto all of us in this wicked generation. So what Jesus is saying, because of the knowledge of good and evil, that is where our wickedness is drawn from. And we inherited that from Adam and Eve. And because of it, that peace that we seek, that reconciliation back to God, that solace, that serenity, that calmness, that quietness, it's going to be evasive. And this temporary at best. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That as long as you think with and use the knowledge of good and evil, you will have no substantial peace. You hear that, my brothers and sisters? As long as you think and use the knowledge of good and evil, that peace is going to be evasive. That's what I want you to understand from this instruction. Now let's go to the next instruction, and what we're going to do is we're going to have our break, and then we'll go to the next instruction.
And if I ask you if you wanted to be successful, everybody in this room would say, absolutely. That's why you're here. But if you and I could take that success conversation and expand it, and I ask you to tell me what you thought success was, in a crowd this size, I would promise you there would be probably two or three dozen different answers, because success can be very subjective. I would like to talk to you about it today. I've studied the subject for 30 plus years. I've tried to ask questions of successful people. I've tried to talk to them, try to discover what made them successful and kind of find out what they think success is. This is a success symposium. This is a day that you've set aside, I've set aside to kind of be more successful and get our act together and hit our potential and climb a new level. That's why we're all here. And I think it would be maybe good for us to take just a few minutes and kind of have as a settling point and as a starting point what success is. I think success, first of all, is knowing my purpose in life. As I have watched and observed successful people, what I have discovered about them is they really have figured out why they're here. They really do have their act together. And knowing their purpose in life is a stability for them. So that when everyone else is rocking and rolling and things are a little unsteady and people are kind of leaving the ship and people are kind of abandoning their causes, these people, they hold steady right throughout the storm because they have a true North Star. They truly are focused. It becomes an anchor in their life that just holds them steady. And the anchor is a confidence based upon a knowledge of purpose.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go. We are now on chapter 49 of Isaiah. And again, there are 66 books in this Isaiah chapter, and our 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. And we're on chapter number 49. We're going to be reading verse 5 and 6. And what I want you to do is pay attention to this instruction as I read the text. God will save more than just Israel. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will save more than just Israel. And of course, we know that already because Christianity is the apple of God's eye, as well as Israel. But right now, we want to see how Isaiah the prophet gave Israel this information. Chapter 49, verse 5 and 6, this is what it says. And now saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant. He's talking about Israel, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered. Yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Judah, and to restore the preserve of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now, what Isaiah just prophesied to Israel, that God will save more than just in Israel. He's identifying also the Gentiles. All right? Now, to complete or continue with the thought, we're going to go to verse 22. And verse 22 says, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring my sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And to complete the thought, 23 says, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. All outside of Israel were considered Gentiles. So this is so significant, what God has said through the prophet Isaiah. Now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the New Testament complement. We're going to go to John chapter 10, and we're going to read verse 14 through 16. John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. And this is Jesus giving substantiation to more than Israel shall be saved. In fact, I say he's telling us that more than the Christians shall be saved. Now, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, this is the critical part, my brothers and sisters. Listen. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. So that is significant. That's telling us that more than just Israel is going to be saved. That's the connection between the complements, the Old and New Testament. And this is what it should mean to us in our lives, that it is the will of God that all mankind be saved. So be aware of that before you denounce others outside of Christianity. Be aware of that, my brothers and sisters. That's what I'm trying to tell you. There are more that's going to be saved other than just Israel and the Christians. Okay. Now let's go to the next instruction, Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to go back to Isaiah chapter 50, and we're going to read verse 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 1 through 5. And this is what I want you to pay attention to as I read the text. Hearken unto God. That means pay attention. Hearken unto God. This is what Israel told. This is what Isaiah told Israel in chapter 50, verse 1 through 5. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stink, because there is no water, and die for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakened mornings by morning. He wakened my ears to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was rebellious, even turned away my back. Now, this is what we should pay attention to, my brothers and sisters, what Israel is being told by Isaiah the prophet, that they must respond to godliness. Now, verse 10 completes the thought. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This ye have of mine hand, yet shall lie down in sorrow. If you do not fear the Lord and obey him, then you will face the consequences. This is what hearkening unto God means in the parable that Isaiah told Israel. Now let's go to the New Testament complement, and we're going to see what is said in Romans chapter 8. This is what Paul is giving us an understanding of in 29 verse 31. This is what Paul says about paying attention unto God and seeing the significance and the reward of paying that attention. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among my many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And concluding with verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So that is the attention we should be paying. That is the connection. If we will listen and respond to our calling, then we shall reap the benefits thereof. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean, don't let the voice of man dissuade you. Hear God's voice, more especially through the Bible. That is key, my brothers and sisters. If you're not hearing God's voice, use basic instructions before leaving earth, and then you shall be rewarded. Now we're going to have a break before we go to the next instruction.
There was a place in biblical times called Gadara. There was a man there who was possessed with a legion of devils. Depending upon which authority you read after, that can be from 3,000 to 6,000 devils. So we'll be conservative. We'll take 3,000. This man has got 3,000 devils inside of him. And he is naked. He has cut himself with stones. He walks and lives and sleeps among the dead. And anybody who serves the devil lives among the dead. He cuts himself. But Jesus steps on board the little ship, and he sets his sail toward Gadara. And when he lands in Gadara, the maniac comes running. And here's the thing that is incredible to me. He's got 6,000 devils. But the man, in spite of the habitation or inhabitation of 6,000 devils, his human spirit wanted to worship. And the Bible says the man came and worshiped. worshipped. 3,000 to 6,000 devils could not stop him from worshiping. The devil cannot stop you from worshiping if you want to worship. He came and he worshiped. He came and he worshiped. And the Bible says, in the end of that story, that the maniac was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, here we go again. We are looking at Isaiah chapter 51. Remember, there are 66 chapters in this study, and we have 101 instructions. We're on instruction number 70. And as I read Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 through 5, I want you to pay attention to this instruction. This is what we're trying to stress out of the text reading. Again, listen to God. This is what the prophet Isaiah is telling Israel, or God is saying through Isaiah to Israel, listen to me. And this is what Isaiah chapter 51, verse 1 through 5 says. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham's, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed before me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. And this is what, again, God is telling Israel through Isaiah the prophet, listen to me. And to complete the thought, verse 15 through 17 says this, but I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is my name. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. Awake, awake, stand up, O Jerusalem, which hath drunk of the hand of the Lord the cup of his fury. Thou hast drunken the dregs of the cup of trembling and wrenched them out. Now, if you do not listen to God, that is what is going to happen to you. That's what Isaiah is prophesying to Israel. Now we're going to look at our New Testament complement and see how this points to what Jesus has told us further about listening. We're going to go to Matthew, the book of Matthew, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And this is what Jesus is saying, my brothers and sisters. Listen to Jesus. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we know that the psalmist told us, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver him out of them all. We also know that Job tells us in Job chapter 14, man that is born of a woman is a few days and then full of trouble. So Jesus is telling us, listen to me, come unto me, ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And more, Jesus says, Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Jesus is further saying to us, listen, you must be meek to receive the goodness that Jesus is going to give us. And this is how he concludes. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if you follow Jesus, that is a promise. Are we listening, my brothers and sisters? And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That Jesus' promises are both godly first and then worldly also. Remember Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the rest will be given to you. So Jesus' promises are both godly first and then worldly also. But the world's promises are only worldly, end when we die. That is significant to know, that the world is temporary and the godliness is eternal. And that is where we want to focus our concentration on, the godliness. So that's what I want you to get from this instruction that I just gave you. Now let's go to instruction number 71. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 52. That is the next chapter we're going to be reading from, Isaiah chapter 52. And we're going to look at verse 1 through 6, Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1 through 6. And this is the instruction. Again, it says, awake to the salvation of God. That is what Isaiah is telling Israel. God is telling Israel through the prophet Isaiah, awake to the salvation of God. And this is how he puts it in chapter 52, verse 1 through 6. Awake. Awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. If you wake up, this is what you're going to receive, Israel. That's what Isaiah is saying. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. That is very significant. That means in our day that Jesus has died for our sins. Verse 4 says, for thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught, that they that rule over them make them howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doeth speak. Behold, it is I. Again, awake unto salvation. We know that Moses was sent to Egypt to the people of Israel because of their howling and crying to God, and God set them free. Now, this is what verse 7 says. How beautiful are the feet upon the mountain of him that bringeth good tidings, that bringeth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Now, we know that Moses was the one that was sent initially. And we know from then others were sent. Again, Isaiah the prophet was sent, again, to let Israel know that if they do what they're supposed to, God will hear them. Now we'll conclude the thought with verse 11. Verse 11 says, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Isaiah is telling the people of Israel that they should remain faithful to God, and he will secure them. Now what we're going to go to is our New Testament complement. We're going to go to the book of Acts, our New Testament complement to the book of Acts. We're going to go to chapter 2, and we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 14, verse 22, and verse 38. And we're going to see how the complement tells us about the same. Acts chapter 2, verse 15, or verse 14, it says, Peter, and what we're going to do, we're going to wait until after the break, and then we'll complete the lesson.
The tragedy is this. We get discouraged. We see our economy going down, all right? We get discouraged. We look at this paper coming in, asking for claims or some debt we have to pay. We get discouraged. We are snared by the visible. The visible is what the devil uses. The visible, look at the lump, how it's growing. Look at your report. Look at what the report says. And it's all visible. We lose sight of the invisible God. Elijah forgot the God who led him to Cherith. He forgot the ravens that fed him by day and by evening. He forgot the woman that God commanded to feed him. And he forgot the barrel of meal that never wasted and the jar of oil that never ceased. He forgot the God of the resurrection that raised the boy from the dead, even through him. He forgot the God who answered by fire and the rain that followed. Why? Because like this, any of us can fall away from faith. Even we walked in the greatest faith yesterday, we can go back to sight today. Peter asked the Lord Jesus when he saw him above the storm, above the waves, on the Lake of Galilee, walking. Lord, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. Jesus says, come, Peter, come. Based on the word of the Lord, looking at Jesus, he stepped on the water and the wind started howling. When Peter saw the wind was boisterous. What has the wind being boisterous got anything to do with walking on water? You mean if there's no boisterous wind, you can walk? You mean on a perfect day, on a swimming pool, no ripple, you can walk? The wind has nothing to do with it. But when he saw the wind, he lost sight of the living Lord. And he began to sing. Walking by sight will cause the greatest of the disciples to sing and the greatest of the prophets to fail. And we're not throwing stones here at either Peter or Elijah. We are just saying where we missed it. We take our eyes off the invisible into the visible. He got discouraged. His prayer in times past was to pray, to be directed by the Lord. The Lord directs him. He goes to the brook Cherith. The Lord says, okay, enough now. Go to Zarephath. He goes. He built the altar, all at the word of the Lord, the leading of God. But now he's running. At whose direction? At a woman threatening him. The threatening of a woman. He does not see the living Lord anymore. He sees an enraged, angry woman. Some of you. I got to be careful where I point. This few weeks, I've been pointing in the right direction. Some of you, you are so afraid because some human face looms larger than the living Lord. You make decisions based on fear of that person instead of trust in the Lord. It might be your boss. It might be your mother-in-law. My mother-in-law told me the other day, hey, mother-in-laws in our church are safe, you know, she told me. She thought I didn't know. Then she's trying to say, quit it. Oh, you're afraid, like Ahab, afraid of his wife. But here, he's not even married to her. And he's afraid of Jezebel. But who is Jezebel? A dying woman. Her days are numbered. Her prophets are finished. She's on the wrong side. And he's running for his life. So that can happen to any of us. The moment we take our eyes off the living Lord.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers, we are on instruction number 71, Awake to the Salvation of God. And we already read what Isaiah chapter 52, verse 1 through 7, and verse 11 said about this salvation awakening. Now we're going to look at what the complement has to say about it, where the Old Testament pointed to what the New Testament is declaring also, awakening to the salvation of God. And this is how Peter put it in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 14. This is what it says. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all that ye dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. But that great and notable day of the Lord is come, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall listen, my brothers and sisters, call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the awakening to the salvation of God. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. This is the completion of the thought. Verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Awake, my brothers and sisters, to the salvation of God. That's the connection that Isaiah identified in the Old Testament, pointing to what today is our identification of awareness for salvation, and it is through Jesus Christ. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that according to Scripture, every knee shall bow and every mouth shall confess. So I say it is better to do so soon rather than later. That is key, my brothers and sisters. Why? Because we know that every knee shall bow. We know that every mouth shall confess. But we should realize that those that bow and confess this side of eternity will be rewarded with salvation. Those that confess on the other side of eternity, we don't know their fate other than condemnation. And that's why I say it should be done sooner than later. That's what I'm trying to share with you spiritually. This is what the instruction should mean to us today. Now let's go to the next instruction. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read verse 1 through 4, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 through 4. And this is what we want to identify, or I should say, this is what the instruction I want you to pay attention to says before I read the text. The Messiah identified. Now, the Messiah for the Jews has, the Orthodox Jews, has not come or been recognized to date. But the Messiah for the Christians and for the Messianic Jews is Jesus Christ. So this is the instruction, and this is how Isaiah put it to the Israelites in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1 through 4. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. So Jesus did not come like the Adonis that Israel was looking for. Israel was looking for a similar Saul-type character to be the Messiah. Because you remember, Saul may have been 6 feet tall and towered over most of the Israelites. He had good-looking features. He was strong-looking. That is not how the Messiah comes. This is what Isaiah is telling the Israelites. Verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hide, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and had carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But listen, my brothers and sisters, and this is again what Isaiah was telling Israel about the Messiah. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That is the Messiah identified. Now what we want to do is go to the New Testament complement, and we want to see how the New Testament puts it in Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. This is the Messiah identified. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him, the Messiah identified. This is what God did in identifying his Son at Mount Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John went with Jesus up into the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured, and there he spoke with Moses and Elijah, and the apostles, the three apostles that were there, saw this occurrence. And this is what Paul or Peter said. While he yet spake, Jesus was speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which was God, said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. That, my brothers and sisters, is the Messiah identified by God himself. Now, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that the God of Jesus Christ is the God of the Old and New Testament. If we believe in this, then we will achieve its teaching. If not, we won't. That is why it is so critical. If we believe in this, then we will realize that Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. If we don't believe it, then it won't be. Now, this concludes the lesson this evening. And before we sign off, the host and I would like to thank you and bless you for your participation and encouragement.
Thank you for joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, blog talk radio talk show program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.